from the mouth of babes. Jesus died, and it was sad, but he was resurrected, buddy. And so through him, we have eternal life. I feel like I don't even need to preach tonight. He said everything I'm going to say. But you know the God that we worshiped on Easter Sunday? Yeah, is the same God we get to worship tonight. And his love for us on Easter Sunday is the same love that he has for us tonight. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And eternal life waits for those who ever put their faith and trust in him. And what a promise that is, and what a blessing that is to us, that we couldn't have done anything to earn our salvation. We couldn't have done anything to work for it. And Jesus paid it all so that you and I would be able to have the opportunity to spend eternity with him. The Bible also tells us that there's no name under heaven in which we must be saved. No man, no woman, other than the person, the God of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, and we're just going to be here just for a second, and then we're going to move on, tells us that that message that was preached on Sunday, the message of the resurrected Christ, the message that Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for you and I, to be hung on a cross, to be buried, and to be resurrected, the world tells us that that message is foolish. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 25, says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is the power of God to us who are being saved. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will set aside the intelligence of the intelligent.' Where is the one who is wise? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolish? Since in God's wisdom, the world did not know God through wisdom, God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of what is preached. For the Jews ask for the signs, and the Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Yet to those who are called both Jew and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength." We see here that Paul writes, the message that is preached, which should be Christ crucified, and I know it is at this church, regardless of who's up here, the message is Christ died for you. When Paul writes, that message to the world is foolish. And to those of us who are believers, that message was once foolish to us. We had blinders on our eyes. We had blinders. We didn't care about Jesus. We didn't care about the gospel. We didn't care about the Bible. We didn't care about God the Father. We didn't care about our eternity. But oh, how sweet is it when that foolishness turns to wisdom? How sweet is it when that fool becomes a follower? If you guys can think back to your salvation, mine was September 9th, 2012, in that moment that my eyes were opened. In that moment, I stopped chasing the foolish things of the world, and I started chasing Jesus Christ, all because somebody took the time to share the gospel with me. And I said, "Yes, Lord, I want to follow that. Yes, Lord, that's worth following. Show me your ways. Let me do it a different way." For those of you who might have had that happen a little while ago and you can't quite remember that day, let me encourage you with this story. So we obviously are going to be planting a church, Ashley and I, and some of you guys felt like God's called you to come with us, and we're excited about that. But what we've been doing is having these discipleship meetings on Saturdays in my house. Every other Saturday, we're getting people together to talk about when you lead somebody to Christ, it doesn't stop there. What does it look like? How can we grow and help walk with these baby Christians? And what can we do? How can we show them how to live like Christ? Well, there's this man I work with. His name's Jonathan. And I've been working with him for about 3 years. And about 6 months ago, we were in our little prayer group that we do. People stick around at work. You guys have heard me talk about that. And we talk about salvation. And he asked me, "What does saved mean?" And so I told him what it meant. And, about 6 months go by. So fast forward to 2 months ago, we're sitting at meeting. I meet with him on Fridays, and we're sitting in the room, and we get through the work stuff, and he asks me a question. He says, I don't remember how the Bible got brought up, but it got brought up, and he said, "So you're telling me this God will tell you to take your son to a mountain and and sacrifice in there? I said, what are you talking about? He said, no, there's this story in the Bible, I know it, that this guy was told to take his son to a mountain, and then there was like this ram or something and some weeds, and then he used him instead. I said, well, that's the story of Abraham, so let's talk about that. And I was able to talk to him about why that happened, and that God's not going to call him to sacrifice his kids. And then he had a bunch of other stories that he heard from the Bible, and I was able to work through some of those. And by the end of it, I told him that, hey, why don't you download the Bible app? He goes, well, I don't like reading. I said, well, hey, we're in today's age and technology where all you got to do is click this play button and it'll read it to you. And so he said, okay, I'll do that. And so he does it. And then the next couple weeks, he is asking me about these things that he's hearing, that the Bible's saying in this fellow Jesus. Who is he? Who is he? Is he really who he says he is? And so I said, hey, man, I'm having this discipleship meeting at my house. If you'd like to come, you and your wife can come and we can talk about it. And the first book was Salvation. We went over the first book and talked about what that was. The second book was Eternal Security and how you're not going to lose your salvation. And then this Saturday, right before Easter, and he'd been coming to these, right before Easter, he comes into my house. He said, hi, how you doing? Good. And he says, Phil, I want to talk about getting saved. I said, all right, pull up a seat. Let's talk. And he says, I've been going through the Bible, and I've been listening to the Bible, and every book in the Bible that I've gotten through so far talks about who Christ is, talks about what he's done for me, and it points to him. And he says, I can't deny who Jesus says he is, who all these people in this book say that he is. And he looks me dead in the eyes, and he says, and I don't want to go to hell. I said, all right. So we prayed. He invited the Lord into his heart, and he got saved on a Saturday at a little Bible study. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? So to see how the foolishness comes to wisdom, and see how the fool says, I don't want to be a fool anymore. I've heard the gospel. I've heard what Jesus has done. I want to follow him. And that ought to excite us. You know, when I hear about salvations as a believer, it fires me up. I get so excited. And when I get to lead somebody to the Lord, man, I tell you, I've been on cloud nine since Saturday. You know, I'm excited. It's like, okay, we got a salvation on Saturday. Easter's on Sunday. I get to preach on Wednesday. It feels like it's been 6 months since I've preached. And I, you know, have all these things coming into Wednesday. And man, God is awesome. God is awesome. He sure is. But the question I have for you all tonight is seeing souls saved, seeing people come to Christ, seeing people turn from their old ways and say, Jesus, I want to follow you, is that a desire of your heart? And if it is a desire of your heart, the follow-up question to that is, are you equipped to do so? Before we get into what I want to talk about tonight, I want to say this. How old are you? Six. There's a six-year-old boy in here who was able to share Jesus with people he has never met in his life. He said Jesus died, and he came back. I don't know what excuse you have, but it ain't a good one. Because if I can hear it from a six-year-old boy, surely we can tell our friends, our family, our coworkers about who Jesus is in the hope that they might just believe it and they get saved. But Paul has a great, simple way of how he shared the gospel to the people at the church in Corinth. And so if you have your Bibles, if you haven't turned, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 5. A small section, just five verses that we're going to get through. But Paul unpacks how he was able to share the gospel at this church in Corinth. And it's such a simple recipe if we let it be. But Paul says this, chapter 2, verse 1. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, announcing the mystery of God to you, I did not come with brilliance of speech or wisdom. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. Verse 4 says, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not be based on human wisdom, but on God's power. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that we get to serve a God like you. Lord, we're so grateful for the opportunity to be able to believe what your word says, God, and to be able to inherit this eternal life that you sent in the form of Jesus Christ. And if we would just believe in him and what he said he did, Lord, that we would be able to have that. Father, I pray for these next few moments as we get into your word and we look at how to share the gospel. Lord, we look at our hearts and really question, do we have a desire to share this gift that we have so graciously received with a lost and dying world? Father, I pray that you bless your word these next few moments, Lord, and may we glorify you tonight in all that we do. We love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul writes, verse 2, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, announcing the mystery of God, I had a conversation with my buddy Q, and I asked him, I don't know why I asked him this, I just did. I said, hey, where do you see advertising for Snickers bars at? He's like, what are you talking about? It was the first thing in the morning. That's the first question I asked him. I was driving to work and I was thinking about it. He said, I mean, I see them everywhere. I see them on my phone. I see them, you know, on my computer. I see them at the store. I see them advertised on billboards. I said, yeah, me too. I said, where do you go? Where do you hear about Jesus at? He goes, the church. I go, where else? And he's sitting. And he's thinking. He says, you know, I don't know that I've heard Jesus talked about a whole lot outside of anywhere but church. It's not our job to only preach the gospel within the confines of these walls. Paul says, when I came to you, that implied he had to go there. He had to take it to them. He said, hey, if I'm walking down this path, I'm bringing Jesus with me. If I'm going to this place, God's coming with me. If I'm going here, I'm going to tell everybody what Jesus done for them. And so we got to go. We got to share it. This awesome truth, this saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done for us. We got to take it and we got to go with it. He doesn't say sit here and do it. He says go. Go. And he says, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, announcing the mystery, some versions might say the testimony of God to you, I did not come with brilliance of speech. Simply put, he proclaimed the gospel for what the gospel was. In Acts chapter 18, verse 5, he tells us that he goes to the Jews and he says, Jesus is the Messiah. They didn't want nothing to do with it. And he says, the blood is going to be on your hands then. And then he goes to the Gentiles and he preaches that exact same message that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus came and died for your sins. And in Acts chapter 18, verse 8, it says, many of the Corinthians came, were saved. They believed, saved, and were baptized. It's a simple message, and that is Jesus died on the cross for you. He loved you so much God loved you so much that he gave his one and only son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Paul was telling him, I'm coming to you to tell you this awesome testimony, this awesome truth that God loves you, even you, even you, even you. God loves everybody. And Paul says, I'm going there. And he did not say, listen to me when he went. Listen to me because I'm Paul. He didn't go there and say, do you know who I am? Do you know what I've done? Do you know how great I was in my previous life? He didn't go there and say that. He didn't say, listen to me because I'm Paul. He said, listen to me because I have something that's worth hearing. He said, listen to me because the gospel of Jesus Christ is for everybody and it is the only thing that can save your soul. He said, listen, listen, Jesus died for you. Jesus was the one who paid it all for you. It was all him. Paul just was telling him as simple as can be. Simple, right? In verse 2 he says, and this is I think one of the most important verses of this whole thing because we can get tied up at this part. I believe says, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul was a very educated man. He knew a lot about Scripture. He knew a lot about a lot of things. He was sharp. He was keen. He was wise. But it says, I decided to to know nothing among you except that Jesus Christ was crucified for you. He says, all of these things that I've acquired over the years, all of this knowledge, all of this wisdom, all of these fantastical things, I'm choosing to put this aside because as great as they are in this world, as cool as they are, all I care about is for you to know that Jesus Christ did what he did for you. He chose willingly to take a step down and tell the people what Jesus did for them. You see, we want to make it a show. We want to make it an experience. We want to make it I will only come to this church if the music is fantastic and we have these laser light shows and we got something for the kids and every day of the week we have something going on. The message is simple. Jesus died for you. Jesus loves you. It doesn't matter how much you know. It doesn't matter how much you don't know. All that matters is, do you know that this person could die and they might die without Jesus Christ? Does it matter? Paul had all these great things going for him. He could have done a whole lot. He could have talked with them. And he could have debated with the philosophers. He could have debated with the scribes and the people who were pushing back. He said, I don't need to do any of that. Though I can hold my own, I don't need to do that. I'm putting all that stuff aside to tell you that Jesus Christ died for you. When we share the gospel, it ought to be the gospel, the pure gospel. And that is what Paul's writing. Jesus died for you. He loves you. He died. We don't have to get all fancy with it. It's the message that's been saving souls year after year, decade after decade, millennia after millennia. He's been doing it since the gospel came to earth, since Jesus died for us. We don't have to change it. There's not a new gospel. It's been the same one that Paul's talking about for years. We just got to share it. We just have to share it. And we got to be willing and wanting to share it. You say, well, what if I don't know how? What if I'm scared to death? Hey, let's read what verse 3 says. It says, after I decided to put off all the things that I was comfortable knowing and all the things that I knew about, and I decided to say that Jesus is the reason that I'm here and he died for you, he says, I came to you in weakness. I came to you in fear and in much trembling. Notice what Paul didn't say is that I didn't do it because I was scared, I was terrified, and I was weak. He said, I came to you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. If you know anything about the first century church, you knew that it could be sharing the gospel could be a difficult thing to do. There's a lot of persecution going on throughout those days. Read Acts chapter 3, you see John and Peter. What happens when they share it? They get beaten, they get thrown in prison. But what do they keep doing? They keep sharing it. What happened to Stephen? He died. He was martyred. He was stoned because of his belief in Jesus and sharing the gospel. You don't think they were scared? Paul writes it right here. I came to you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. Was he scared of the persecution? Probably. Was he scared of being rejected? Perhaps. But he did it anyways. He said, God has put this burning desire inside my heart to go to a pagan world, a lost world, people who don't know Jesus Christ, and share that message with them. Yeah, it's scary. It's terrifying sometimes, but to not do it is even a bigger consequence. And you think about the people, you know, if we closed our eyes, or maybe there's somebody going through your head right now, man, I should have shared the gospel with them. Man, that family member that I just brushed by the side when I had the perfect opportunity to tell them about Jesus, dang it, I should have done that. It's going to be scary. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. But we ought to do it anyways. we should be doing it anyways. And whatever the reason he was going through those things in verse 3, it didn't matter because God asked him to do it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, Paul writes, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." He knew that the things that he was going to share, he couldn't do that all by himself. He knew the things that the people that he was going to, that there was a chance that they were going to kill him. He knew the things that he was up against were bigger than himself, and he had to rely completely, solely, on God the Father to get him through whatever he was going to tell those people. And luckily for us, we know that it was the gospel. And souls were saved because of it. But he says in verse 4, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power." See, Paul didn't rely on himself. He had 100% dependence on the Holy Spirit, 100% reliance on what God was going to do while he was there. I don't know if he knew exactly what was going to come out of his mouth, but when God tells you to do something, you do it. I don't know if he knew exactly where he was going to be when he was imprisoned, but he didn't care. He said, "I'm going to share the gospel, and I don't care where it leads me, because doing something for God is better than anything that you can do for mankind. Doing something for the Creator of the heavens and the earth is better than any wisdom that you can gain or attain from this world." And Paul didn't rely on himself. He relied solely on the power of the Spirit. He didn't rely on his own intellect. He didn't rely on his own training or background. He didn't need to. He had complete confidence that God was going to bless whatever God was calling him to do. He didn't say, "Oh, look what Paul's doing. Hey, look what Paul's taking care of. Hey, Paul's sharing the gospel. Paul's doing these things." He said, "No, it's about Christ." And it was all about him. And it wasn't easy, but he did it anyways. I know this might be a low, maybe not many of you, but raise your hands. How many of you watched? Thanks, dude. How many of you watched NCAA Division I National Championship for Wrestling? Thank you. Did you? Good. So three of us. You say, "Why is that a big deal?" Well, there was this young man by the name of Aaron Brooks. He was 197-pound national champion. He won four national titles. This was his senior year. He went and he won four national titles. He won his fourth national title. Not many people do that in any sport. The interviewers come out and they say to him, how'd you do it? And it's on ESPN, so it's on cable. It's, you know, it's a big deal. And they got him around, "Hey, how'd you do this? How'd you manage this, your fourth thing?" And they stick the microphone in this guy's face. What do you think he said? "Yeah, no, the room is tough, and I'm just that dude. I'm on top. I'm the baddest man alive, and nobody can beat me." No, that's what a lot of other people said. What this man said was, he said this: "I know it's boring, and I've told you this before, but where my success is, why I have this success, is because my faith in Jesus. Why I have what I have is because all the glory has been given to God. He's blessed me to do this, and the platform that I have is to share his gospel." And they're like, "Yeah, but how did you do it?" And he said, I told you already. It's Jesus. He said, there's no way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. How many people are willing to put themselves aside? You don't have to be a national champion, but to step down when it's your moment and say, "No, it's not me. It never has been me. It's all God the Father. He's the one that makes it happen. He's the one that gives me the words. He's the one that whose Spirit is working inside of me. It's nothing I'm doing. It's not who I am. It's not because I'm a great person. It's all because of Jesus Christ that I can do anything anyways." And you step down and you step aside and you let the Spirit do a work in your life. and you give all the glory to the one who deserves it. And for those who don't know, that's Jesus. He's the one who deserves everything. All the praise, honor, and glory. Because he's the one who does it all. He says, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit. His confidence in the Holy Spirit was all he needed. You see, when we go to share the gospel with people, when we go to tell them the good news about what Christ has done for them, we're just the vessel. We're just the avenue in which the Spirit takes to get to the next person. And amen for that, because I love sharing the gospel. I love leading people to Christ, man. I tell you, and nothing makes me more happy than seeing somebody's eyes open to the truth. I say, wow, how was I living like this for so long? Wow, how did I not know this? And you say, hey, man, the Bible said you didn't. We knew you didn't. We could see it. But now you do. Now you do. Man, what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is. So then it all comes down to this right here in verse 5. So why is it important then? Why should you care about sharing the gospel? Why should you have a burden in your heart for those who are lost and dying without a Savior? Why should it matter to you? Paul says, when he went to the Corinthians, he says, I was able to preach the gospel not with my own persuasive words or wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Verse 5. So that your faith might not be based on human wisdom, but on God's power. The reason it should be important to us to share the gospel with the world, with everybody, is so that their faith might not be based on human wisdom, but on the power of God. There are so many people, I've talked to so many people, and many of you have talked to more people than me about it, and they say, when you present them with an opportunity to accept the gospel, they say, nah, I'm good. Nah, I'm fine. No, because then I'm going to have to change something about me, and I don't want to do that. No, because I work on Sundays, and that's going to cut into my overtime. No, because then I'm going to have to go to church and hear what the pastor says, and I might change my life. It might take me out of my comfort zone. No, I'm fine. I'm going to stay where I'm at. You keep Jesus with you in the church house where he belongs, and I'm fine with doing it my way. I don't need it. And then they chase this foolish wisdom, this blinding wisdom that leads them right to hell. And they say, all because they say, I don't need it. I don't need it. If that doesn't break your heart, to know what Jesus Christ has done for you, and to have that gift of salvation, and to see somebody walking without it, and you do absolutely nothing to tell them about who Christ is, and that doesn't break your heart, I'm not convinced anything will. Because when you have that understanding of who Jesus is and what he's done for you, man, you ought to want to tell everybody so that their faith might not be based on human wisdom, but on God's power. And that's the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for you, that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son to come to this earth. Now talk about humility. Talk about being humble. Came to this earth, lived a perfect life, died a terrible death, was buried and rose again for you and I. And we have that gift right in front of us tonight. Many of us have already accepted that gift. But many of us haven't. So the question to the believer that I have tonight is the same question that I asked you at the very beginning of this message, and that is seeing souls saved a desire of your heart? I want you to take just a second to think about it. Is seeing souls saved, leading people to Christ, sharing the gospel so that their faith might not be based on human wisdom but on God's power, is that a desire of your heart? And then secondly, to the believer, when you do share the gospel, where is your dependence and confidence in doing it? No matter how great of a speaker you are, no matter how great of a presenter you are, you can't achieve what only Christ can accomplish. It doesn't matter. You just have to be willing to share the gospel. And to those of you who might not know Christ, my question to you is, do you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know that Jesus died for you? Do you know that he was hung on a cross, buried in 3 days, he rose again? Do you know that he's seated at the right hand of the Father waiting to come back? Do you know that by putting your faith and trust in him, you can have eternal life in heaven with the Creator of the universe? You see, it's my job as a pastor and a preacher to deliver what God's Word says. It's your job to decide what you want to do with it. And I pray before you walk out of these doors tonight that you decide to follow Christ. But that's not a decision I can make for you. That's a decision that you're going to have to make. So as we stand and the music plays, the altar